remember that in the afternoon meeting, the Lord seemed to bring us up to a certain point. And that was where we were praying that the Lord would thrust forth laborers into his harvest field. And we prayed that to that end, that God would do that. I was connected with an assembly at one time in my earlier days where they had a missionary prayer from 2 to 4 every Friday afternoon. And the first half hour was spent in praying that prayer. There would be anywhere from 20 to 40 people present, and that was the prayer which the Holy Ghost gave them to pray for that period of time, that God would thrust forth laborers into his vineyard. There wasn't any immediate sign of that as far as the assembly itself was concerned at that particular time. But in the years that followed, there's been an abundant answer to that prayer. And I believe that God wants us to keep it in mind. Thrust forth, O God, we pray thee that you will thrust forth laborers into your harvest field. And I have felt that tonight we ought to very definitely pray for our sister Diana Lieber, whom God is thrusting forth again to India. Now, our sister has had sort of a checkered career where God has made her a help here and a help there and a blessing here and there. She has served one term in Liberia. When her work there was completed, the work that she was doing and the nationals took over, she came back to this country. And so she was a real help over there. And before she left Liberia, she said, "Well, I wonder what I'm going to be doing when I come back to the United States." And one morning, the Lord just showed her that she should be at Pilgrim Camp. And that following winter, and she thought, "My, that's strange. Brother Carl Saylor and his wife were still here at that time." And she said to herself or to the Lord, "Well, Lord, he doesn't want a woman around." And then when she got here, she found out that he had resigned from his caretaker work here, and that there was an entirely different setup. And so she joined us at that time, and she certainly was a very great help during that first winter in particular when we were here. And then the Lord, living here on the grounds, brother, my wife and I, and Sister Greatley, and Sister Inez, Mike and Kenny Friedman, and then she completed the circle. And God certainly used her and was a real help to us at that time. And then, of course, the Lord took her to India, where she helped to fill in while our sister Sister Esther Seedot was on furlough. And, of course, you know, it's almost impossible for new missionaries to get into India. Virtually it's a closed door. But people can go in as on a guest visa for 3 months and then have it renewed for another 3 months, usually. And so they can be there for 6 months. But then I think they have to stay away 3 years before they can go back under some circumstance like that. But anyway, she was there to help, and we certainly was a very great godsend that she could be there at that time. And now Sister Esther is on her furlough again, and the time limit has expired, and so she can go back, and she's leaving us tomorrow go to Illinois and then on to India at the end of the month. Our Sister Esther will be coming into New York after a little, and so again, our sister is going to be a help over there. Our sister Antia went over there for 3 months in the meantime, and she was a help over there at that time. And so we want to look to God, that God will manifest himself, and I feel that we really ought to pray very earnestly for our sister tonight, that God will bless her. And I think we ought to have a word of testimony, though, before we pray for her. And we ought to take her into our faith and into our love. We hope that the government will allow her to stay there 6 months. That's what we hope and we believe. And it should be that way. But at least she's there for 3 months, and we want to believe that God will help her. It isn't everybody, you know, that can just go 3 months here or 3 months there. And sometimes it might seem sort of as though a person were jumping around, but we are thankful to God. We've been very thankful at Pilgrim Camp for the last 2 years. That she could come and be the nurse here at camp. Now that has meant a tremendous amount to us. The Lord showed our sister Greatly, after having served as a nurse for 36 years here at camp, that her time was up as a regular nurse. We certainly thank God for the services of our sister Greatly all those years. And by the way, it won't hurt me to make mention of this fact. This past winter, spring, her brother passed away, and Sister Greatly felt that she would like to give the flowers for the gardens around here and the flower pots and so on in memory of him, inasmuch as she could not do anything at all at the time of his death and funeral. And so these flowers that you see on the grounds are really in memory of our sister Greatly's brother. And we thank God for, I'm sure you've all enjoyed the beauty that you find around here. And it's been very wonderful how the Lord has supplied that type of thing throughout the years. He's done it himself. And it's quite an expense. And the Lord has laid it on one person and another person's heart to beautify the grounds here. And so when our sister Greatly gave up, why, the Lord had our sister Diane here for 2 months last year and again the 2 months this year. We really have to, according to the law, we have to have an infirmary, and that is regulated by the number of campers that we have. And we have to have somebody who is licensed in one way or another. And our sister Diane is an RN. And so she could fit in. And it's very important that in a place like this, we have somebody who has the light that we have, that we should look to God and to trust the Lord. And it's really been marvelous all the years how God has taken care of these grounds and those on these grounds. When the health inspector came, we have two inspections every year, and it doesn't hurt you folks to know a little bit of what has to go behind the scenes. We have to have two inspections every year. Well, three actually, one in the winter, and then one a preseason inspection, and they go over every bit of ground practically that there is here. We have nothing to complain about. We've had very fair and health inspectors, and they've been very, very reasonable in their demands, but there are demands, and rightly so, because there's been a lot of crookedness in camps throughout the country and in New York State. And when there's carelessness in one camp, why then it affects all of us all the way around. And so, as I say, this year when the inspector came for his summer inspection, he just kept quizzing and quizzing. Now, our nurse has to keep a record of the people that she takes care of and who's been sick and so on. And it's not allowed to be in a loose leaf book. It has to be in a bound book so that you can't have any foolishness there and fool leaves out to tell the story and so on. And he just quizzed her. Haven't you had any of these contagious diseases? Hasn't anybody died? We've had four deaths. camps that I've had to investigate and so on and so on. And he couldn't believe that she had such a blank book and that there had been more trouble. You know, that's the goodness of God. You know, that's the goodness of God. That's a marvelous when you have 300 or more children coming to us every summer and coming from all kinds of backgrounds and conditions and homes where they could easily bring in contagious diseases, either through carelessness or unwittingly, not knowing that they were doing it and so on. You know, we could have a lot of trouble. We could. We could have a lot of trouble. You can't imagine what it would mean to have, or can you, to have 90 children and half of them have chicken pox or measles or something like that and have them cooped up and whatnot. I tell you. Well, it's happened right down at the camp, 3 or 4 miles down the road here. And so God has been so very good. And as I say, we appreciate that God has supplied this need. For these 2 years, by means of our sister Diane Lieber, that she could supply the requirements as far as the state was concerned, and that we could go along. Now, these are little things, but they're really very big things. And we do thank God that, well, there's somebody who can step in a situation like that. If she were tied down in some place, why, well, we'd have to look to the Lord for the supply from some other source. But thank God he has chosen and our sister has been consecrated to come and to help. And I want to thank God at this moment for all the help that he has given to us this season, as well as throughout the past seasons. We're closing tomorrow the 38th season here at camp, the 38th summer season, and it certainly has been wonderful the way in which God has helped us throughout all these years. And we thank God for everyone who has been given the light and the consecration and the faith and the willingness to come and serve him in this place. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so, come, Diane, and let's have a word of testimony from you before we pray for you. And by our united faith, really believe that God will send you forth in the power of the Holy Ghost to be a blessing there during this time when our sister Esther is away. Praise the Lord. Come. Come over here. Talk it.
To learn to be obedient. I really have so much to thank the Lord for. As Brother Gordon has said, it's been a wonderful summer as far as the children have been concerned. There's been nothing major. And that poor inspector, I felt sorry for him. He kept saying, well, what was the most serious thing you had to treat? I said, let's see, was it the bee sting? He said, that's it. I says, I'm sorry, that's the worst thing I've had. You know, it was a couple of bee stings and a little bit here and there. He just couldn't believe it. And I says, well, I said, we pray, and God answers prayer. He says, keep praying. I says, we will. You know, it was a wonderful opportunity to give a little bit of a testimony as to what God could do, how he answered prayer here at our camp versus what had happened at other camps around us. And I thank the Lord for that. And it's certainly a different life, as Brother Gordon has said, being going from pillar to post. My poor parents, and now my father, he keeps saying, well, what's your next address going to be? They've already filled up 3 pages in the address book, and I say, well, where's the next one, you know? I said, I'll let you know when I get there. But it's something you don't get into a rut. I've learned that. You can't get into any ruts. But I've also learned that walking step by step with Jesus brings a real peace and a real joy. I had to come to that place of saying, Lord, I give it up. I don't care anymore. It doesn't matter that I don't have a home, that I don't have a permanent dwelling, a place that I can call my own. It's getting almost to the place where I hardly have a permanent address. I use camp as my permanent address, but I'm only here 2 out of 12 months a year. But they're at least kind enough to forward my mail wherever I might be. But you know, I had to give that up. I had to say, Lord, that doesn't matter anymore. All that matters is that I have you as the first and most important thing in my life, and that I do your will day by day, step by step, wherever that might lead me, whenever, for how long I might be there, whether it's for 3 months, 6 months, a year, 10 years, it doesn't matter. Just so that I'm walking in your will day by day. Because I've come to the place that really, the only thing that matters to me is that I have Jesus and that he has first place. And I've found out the hard way. I've done a lot of struggling. I've done a lot of resisting. I've had a lot of my own ideas. But I've had to lay them all down finally and say, Lord, what's your plan? Whatever it is, I'm open for it. Wherever, whenever, however. And I found that when I did that, I finally was able to get the peace that I'd been looking for. I was able to come into the rest that I was striving so hard for, but couldn't attain because I was always striving against what the Lord really wanted. You know, it's, Lord, I want your will. I want to do what you want me to, but I sure hope this is what it is. You know, have you ever done that? Lord, I want your will, but I hope it fits in this little box. You know, I've got it all figured out now. And you can just bless it, Lord. But I found that when I did that, there wasn't the peace. There wasn't the joy. There wasn't the rest that the Word of God tells us we should have. So I finally had to put it all down and say, okay, Lord, you are number one. You are my first goal, to have Jesus, to have more of Jesus every day, to walk close to him. And everything else has to take a back seat, whether it's my family, my mother, my father, my relatives, my desires, my occupations, whatever it is, my own choices, they have to take a back seat. And I had to find that to be a very great reality last year. When I went through a time of sorrow here at camp when my mother passed away, just a matter of a few days after Sister Edith passed away, I was here. Now, I hadn't seen my mother in 2.5 years. I hadn't been home. But I had to know that I had been walking in God's will those 2.5 years. And I had planned on going home in October. And I said, but why, Lord, couldn't you keep her just 2 more months? But I had to know that God doeth all things well. He knew what was best, and I had to let it go. My father didn't want me to come home at that point. I had to let that go. I couldn't be with my family at that time of sorrow. But you know, Jesus gave me a word. He says, let not your heart be troubled. I had to give it to him, and I had to go on. I had to go on with my duties here. The gardeners would have let me go. That wasn't the problem. My father said, no, there's no sense. So I didn't. But you know, I had to realize then that Jesus had to be the most important thing. I couldn't go on a lot of other things. I couldn't do what I really wanted to do at that moment. I had to do what Jesus wanted me to do, and that was to stay here and carry on my job. And you know, he saw me through. And he saw me through the winter. And as I've been seeking him, laying down my life day by day, laying down the things that he puts his finger on, giving it up, he has been replacing all of those things with his joy, with his peace, and with his rest. So maybe it looks like I lead kind of a frantic, displaced life. And sometimes I think I do. Sometimes I think I spend more time living out of a suitcase than anything else. But it really doesn't matter to me. I don't care. I've come into what some people call, or I'm beginning to come into it. I know I haven't arrived. But coming into, well, you might say a divine I don't care. I like that term. Coming into a divine I don't care. Because it's not what I want anymore. It's, Jesus, what do you want? Where do you want me next? What's your next step for me? And that's fine. I don't have any goals for my life anymore. I don't have any real desires to say, I want to go here, or I want to do that, or I want to achieve this in the world. I got one goal, and that is to seek Jesus, and to have Jesus be the preeminent factor in my life. Have Jesus be all and in all in my life. And I'm so thankful that when I came to that place of that being my one desire, my one goal in life was to seek Jesus, that song that we sang, the chorus, He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love and covers me there with His hand, has become a reality. It's no longer a stressful thing. It's no longer saying, well, Lord, I don't want to be there, and I want to be here. Why can't I be there? It's, if this is where you want me, Lord, well, praise the Lord. I'm happy to be here. I'll serve you here, Jesus. If this is what you want, if you want me just to sit still, then that's what I want. Because, you know, when you cover something with your hands, you can cover it totally, and nothing can get to it. And that's how I've begun to feel that the Lord is overshadowing my life. That He is taking over. He's taking control. And it's a beautiful feeling. And I'm not one for feelings as far as that goes, but, you know, it's brought a joy. It's brought a peace that I've never had before. There's always been the strain, the striving. But now it's just one thing. Jesus, I love you, and I want more of you. I want to know you better. I want to serve you better. I want to do your will. It's not serving the Lord in our own strength. It's not saying, well, here's a need that I can go and fill, or there's a need that I can go and fill, because that's not it. It's getting down before the Lord on our knees and saying, Lord, where do you want me? Amen. What do you want me to do? And it may be totally different from anything else that might have appeared. It might be so totally different. And you know, there's times when people don't understand why you're doing things, why you have to live this way, or why are you just sitting down and doing nothing now? It's a lot of times people are not going to understand you. But, you know, when you're doing God's will, it doesn't really matter what people think, because you've got the peace that says, I'm doing what God wants me to do. And that's all that's important. That's really all that matters in our lives. Is, are we doing what Jesus wants us to do? Are we pleasing Jesus in all we do, in all we say, in all we think? Has everything else taken a back seat? Many of these songs are very easy to sing. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He's all I need. You know, I had to go through an experience this past winter that made me to realize very abruptly and in a very uncomfortable way that as many times as I had sung that hymn, Jesus is all I need, that He really was not all that I needed. Because at that point, I needed friends, I needed my family, I needed certain material things. And all of a sudden, these things were taken away from me. The Lord took away my close friends. My family was 1,000 miles away. I wasn't working, so there was no excess as far as material goods. There was nothing anymore. I was alone, totally alone. I rented a room. And I knew it was God's will. I knew I was in God's will, no matter how uncomfortable the feelings might have been at the time. I knew it was in God, was in God's will. But God took everything away. He stripped me. And He says, now, really, is Jesus all you need? And you know, it took me many days of praying and saying, Lord, you must be all I need. If it means stripping me of absolutely everything, then do it until I can come to the place that I can say truly from my heart that Jesus is really all I need. That I don't need to have friends to talk to. I don't need to have people to go here with or there with. But that I can be content to sit in my room hour after hour, day after day, alone with Jesus and in that place find perfect peace, contentment, and satisfaction. It was a hard lesson. Those were difficult days, because I tend to like to have some people around, at least on occasions. And when I was doing everything alone, and I had to be so totally alone, it took a lot of prayer and a lot of tears to say, Lord, make me willing to come to that place of having you be my satisfying portion through every area of my life, no matter what it means, no matter what area. And you know, God answered that prayer. And he's been working. I know there's work that has to be done yet. I know that. But you know, it's been a joy to know that anymore I can be content with Jesus. I found that out this summer. My first summer sitting over at Mercy and being, you might say, quote unquote, confined to Mercy, because being on call 24 hours a day, you have to be able to be reached in an emergency. You can't just be wandering all over taking a walk somewhere. You've got to be where they can reach you when they need you. That was very, very hard on me, not being able to be free to move. That was very difficult. But you know, this summer, after having come into the contentment of being satisfied with Jesus, I was perfectly content to sit in Mercy, to have no one around, to just be there by myself. And this summer, I hardly even had any children to keep me company. Last summer, I had plenty of company with the children, but this summer, I hardly even had a sick child. I don't think a total of 2 weeks that I had any child throughout the whole summer. But you know, I had Jesus this summer in a very real way, so that I had a peace about staying alone. It didn't bother me. As a matter of fact, I enjoyed it because I could have time with Jesus. And you know, that's a beautiful place to come into. We hear about it so often, but it's something else to really come into the experience of it. And I'm thankful that the Lord has brought me through different situations, that it's been possible to have this experience become real in my life. It's not just something I've heard about in other people's lives, that other people have experienced. Some of the great saints, you know, well, Madame Guyon had this beautiful experience in the dungeon. Well, that's fine for her, but what about me, Lord? I want it. I'm not a stepchild. And you know, that's beautiful to realize that with God, there are no stepchildren. He loves each one of us as the firstborn. We're special to him. And it took me a lot to come to realize that God cared about me, because I've been pushed around a lot. And I've never really had anyone really care about me enough to see me through it all, to see me through all the struggles. They might stick around a while, but after a while I found them kind of fading off into the distance. But you know, I have found that Jesus has been true. He's stuck by me, no matter what the problems are. I've come to realize that I'm important to Jesus. And you know, each one of us are important to Jesus. He cares about us, and he has a very detailed plan for our lives. And if we want the fullness of the blessing of God, if we want that peace that passes all understanding, if we want to be filled with joy, with peace, with hope, you know, it's all found in Jesus. But I found that Jesus has got to have first place if we want his best. He's got to supersede everything else in our life and everyone else in our life. He's got to be first before your husband, before your wife, before your children, before your families. Jesus must be first if you want his best. And I'm so thankful that he's begun to bring me into that place of realizing that I too can have his best. He's got it for me, and he's giving it to me. And all I've got to do is believe him for it, to sit back and take what he's waiting to give. And that's one blessing I have found, that from moving around, meeting different people, being put through different situations, that I've grown to know Jesus better. And of course, that's the most important thing, because I know Jesus better now than I did when I was in India 3 years ago. I've got something more to take out and share with those teachers now than I had 3 years ago. I couldn't tell them about the Jesus I know now. I've got something deeper.
Yeah. Oh, God, help her to help many, many, oh, God, in that dark land, oh, God. Point them to thee, oh, God. Even if she is limited with the language, but you have ways and means, oh God, to make the blessing that you want her to be. We thank you, Lord. Oh Jesus, we praise you. Cover her with the precious blood.
Amen.
Lord,
Lord, we thank you that Diane has been willing to follow you.
Yes.
Although, God, it hasn't always been easy, she's been willing, oh God, to go thy way. And Lord, we know that you take note of that. We know that your eyes are on the faithful of the land. And oh God, we thank you for this next door that you've opened for us. And Lord, tonight we agree together that it shall be more Christ than ever before.
To rejoice in the Lord always.
Amen.
Oh my God, we pray that she shall bring the joy of the Lord
Amen.
To that station, my
yeah.
God,
Amen.
In a supernatural way.
Yeah.
Let there be wave of glory and joy. My God, use your child as a vessel to bring the joy and the glory of God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it.
Yeah.
27. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. Now listen, don't tell any lies. I'll be what you want me to be. 277.
Thank you. Let's just look at him for a moment. Let him speak to your heart, talk to you. I'll be what you want me to be, Jesus.
Yes.
What a privilege. And God makes us what he wants us to be. He has to do that. I'll go where you want me to go. Maybe there's a place that you have not wanted to go to. Maybe some neighbor, some relative, and you go any place but there. And you know they need your help and they need your testimony.
Yes, Lord.
They need your light. Maybe there's something else that God has called you to do and you haven't wanted to go, but tonight you're saying, Jesus, I will go. I will go. I will do your will. He's here to strengthen you. Just tell him all about it. And oh, Jesus, there have been places that I have not wanted to go to, some places I don't mind going to. I don't mind coming to Pilgrim Camp generally, although I'm intimidated by all these preachers here. But I have to overcome those things. But there are certain places where I really don't care to go. And I've steered away maybe for years, and God has dealt with me about that. He said, now I want you to just say yes. Are you willing to say yes to everybody? I mean it. No, you mean
amen.
It. Okay. I'll say yes. 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 I'll say yes. 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 I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes. 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 How many are willing to be all that God wants you to be? How many are willing to really be Pentecostal through and through, filled with the Holy Ghost? You're willing for that? Now, come on, let's sing it again then. I'll say yes, yes, yes. I'll say yes, yes, yes. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes, Lord. Get down on your face and find God's will and what he wants you to be as a member of the body of Christ. And it doesn't just come in a meeting like this, you know, but it's down in the valley and it's down in the daily grind that we say, yes, Lord. And we seek him and we get through into real fullness of his blessing and abandonment to himself, where he can use us as he wants to use us, and that costs your own life also. Are you still ready to sing it now? Really, God is here and he sees us in this meeting. I'll say yes. Tonight, and you have made us willing and desirous to be what you want us to be. We know you've spoken to our hearts during these days, Lord, and oh God, we really want to be changed permanently, lifted onto a higher plane, put into the center of thy will, Lord. Oh God, that which you desire to make out of every one of us, we say yes to you, Lord, and we'd like to pray, Lord, oh God, take us as we are, and make us what you want us to be, spirit and soul.
body, regardless of the cost.
Amen.